and went down to the hold. The hold is like a little fortress, a bunker. You usually sit on top of a hill. The Philistines also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? You know what? We need to inquire a lot more of the Lord about what to do when we don't know what to do. Instead of relying on our past experience, what has worked in the past, things like that. We need to inquire of the Lord. He said, should I go up to the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand? The Lord said to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. And David came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord has broken forth upon mine enemies before me as the breach of waters. Therefore, he called the place Baal Perazim. Baal in the Old Testament is used as, you know, they called an idol because they worshiped this idol. They attributed him as God, the Canaanites. But Baal was a sign of deity. It was a term used to acknowledge deity. And Perazim means breakthrough. David called that place the God of the breakthrough. Say that. He's the God of the breakthrough. He's the God of my breakthrough. I'm telling you, you got to get serious about this, because when you get serious about this, then the devil starts backing up. God has broken through that crust of an old man and absolutely obliterated him. You are not an old sinner. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You have been made whole and accepted in Christ. Really, you got to wear that. That is a gift from God. You can't earn it. All you can do is put it on and wear it. The God of the breakthrough. Verse 21. It says, and there they left their images, and David and his men burned them. You've got to have a funeral for your old man. I mean a serious funeral. He done. He gone. You have to be a White Sox fan, but when one of the enemy strikes out, Hawk Harrelson used to say, he gone. He gone. Grab some bench. They burned all of their images, all of their idols, all of their false gods, all of the things they once held to that these people hold on to as their strength. They're burned. They're ashes. They are not gods. Verse 23. And the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. By the way, Rephaim means giant. You may look like you're in a valley of giants and this thing's got a hold of your life. And he said, back off! I did that in a dream one time. I was running through a field and this big black dog came up next to me, and I could see in his eyes were all the hate that you ever imagined seeing were in his eyes. And he grabbed a hold of my hand. He could have ripped it off, but I was running through this field, and he was just looking at me. And you know what I said? Back off! This, and then I woke wide awake. You got to do that. You got to get serious about this. You can't say, I have this problem and I wish you'd leave me alone. No. Remember we talked about the coyote? And, you know, the hunters of coyotes to thin out because they're trying to protect their livestock. They take a little rabbit call. Like a wounded rabbit. And that attracts the coyotes. And when you start complaining and telling God everything that's wrong with you and everything that you can't do because these things are so big, it attracts the wrong spirits and they get all over you. But when you start to declare the word of God, when you start to say, I don't care how I feel, this is true concerning me, and I'm taking this, and I'm not letting it go. This is mine. You gave this word to me. This is my word now, and I'm telling you, devil, in the name of Jesus, get out of my life. Amen. He doesn't have a choice at that point. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. So the Philistines came up again, and David inquired the Lord, and he said, shall I go up? Shall I not go up, but fetch the compass? Wait a second. And David inquired the Lord, and he said, the Lord said to him, you shall not go up, but fetch a compass behind them. In other words, encircle around them, is what King James kind of rough. Compass behind them, and come up and come upon them over against the mulberry trees. And let it be when you hear the sound of a going in the tops of, in other words, when you hear the sound of soldiers' feet above the mulberry trees, then go, and I'll ruin them. You know what I like about this? David didn't rest on his past victory. When God says, yeah, I'll deliver him into your hands. When he came, when the Philistines came against him again, he said, should I go up against them again? The Lord says, don't do it. Go behind them. And when you hear soldier, the march, the sound of marching above the mulberry trees, then go. And I'll get, those were warrior angels. God was preparing for this battle. And he annihilated them. Say breakthrough. You got angels working for you. You've got a plan and a strategy from the Father. But you need to understand that the things that once worked don't work all the time. This is not a formula where you can say, well, this worked. No, every situation is different, and God has a different strategy for every single situation that you're in. Walk with him. Consult him. Receive his counsel. And then do what he says to do. This wasn't hard for David. All he said, should I? Lord says, no, go around behind them and wait for my signal. In other words, wait till you hear the sound of marching above the mulberry trees. I think the Amplified says that. When you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then bestir yourselves. For then has the Lord gone out before you to smite the army of the Philistines. And David did as the Lord had commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba to Gezer. Now he's on the run. Look, you have the opportunity to put the devil on the run. Don't wear his dirty laundry. It's his. Give it back to him. Let him have it. You have a robe of righteousness. You have a shield of faith. You have a helmet of salvation. You have a sword, which is the word of God. You have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have the belt of truth that holds everything in place. When you walk according to that truth, you're in authority. Only don't turn around because there's no armor in the back. You're not meant to retreat. You're meant to stand there and get the devil to retreat. That's what General Patton said when he addressed West Point cadets. He says, I suppose every one of you are here because you're willing to die for your country. And they go, yeah. He said, well, that's not how you win wars. You get them to die for their country. You got to understand, when you join this army, you are on the winning side. Yes. You're on the victorious side. You're going to go in afterwards and triumph with a shout of triumph to the Lord and celebrate with him. And when you stand before the Lord on that day, it won't be hearing, it's time to pay for your sins, son. You won't hear that. You'll hear, well done. You walked in the victory that I gave you. You walked in the grace that I gave you. You walked in the faith that you saw in me and operated in my servants, Paul, Peter, Jude, James, and you honored the word that I gave them for you. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Amen. Amen. Boy, look, you've got more for you than against you. He's the God of the breakthrough. Said he's the God of the breakthrough. Do you want a breakthrough? And there's not one person in this room, including me. You didn't think I was perfect, did you? Including me, there's not one person that doesn't have to break through in something in their life. Every one of us. Hey, it could be an attitude, it could be an anger, whatever. What is that thing that you can just sense it, that the Lord just wants to go like this and weed it, just pull it up by the root. You just, don't make him struggle. Let go of the thing. Like, what good has it done you in the past? What possible good has it ever done you to get angry and to fall back into stuff that you know you've been delivered of? If you just let him. Do what you have to do. Water the soil with a little praise. Water, soften up so he just... I did have a really good message prepared for you. But this is what's on the table for this morning. Now I want you to, everything okay? Praise you, Jesus. Father, we declare your word over Michael. We declare your word that by the stripes of Jesus, that he was healed. We thank you, Father, that he is delivered from all of his enemies. That he will stand up and declare the glory of God in the name of Jesus. That your word was sent forth and healed him. Thank you, Father. That you, with long life, you will satisfy him and show him your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, your wholeness, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. We release our faith now. We don't look on things after the natural, but we call them what they are in the spirit, and the natural will conform to what we say in the spirit. This is the gospel. This is the truth that sets people free. Praise God. Peace and rest, comfort and joy. Praise God. When Jesus came to the earth, he brought the glory of God with him. In fact, he was the manifestation of the glory of God. Praise you, Lord. There you go. Praise God. Thank you. Praise God. When Jesus turned the water into wine, it says this is how he manifested his glory. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he manifested the glory of God. When he healed a man they didn't know, I think it was blindness, says, was this, you know, his sin or his parent? Oh, Kelly quoted that today. And Jesus said, neither. But that the glory of God may be done, I'm minister, you know, I'll heal. So the glory of God manifests God himself. It is God. The glory of God is. But here's the thing. It says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. It says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is a living hope. That's a now hope. That's the Christ who lives in you in the now. And the glory of God is not something you have to wait for to die to get to heaven to realize the glory of God. We've seen the glory of God. We've seen the glory of God heal, deliver, restore, renew, reconcile, heal marriages, heal parent-child relationship, heal children of bullies that came their way, of people who had evil intent, just totally delivered, that God delivered them from those things. We've seen miracles happen. That is the glory of God. That is the power of God. This is how he wants us to know him, to relate to him, and to fellowship with him. Not about how shortcomings we are. You've got to realize something. All that is paid for. All that is done. That's why it's so easy to repent from. Say, really? That's easy to repent? Yeah, it's easy. I mean, in order to sin, you have to do something, right? How hard is it to do this? Nothing. I'm not doing anything. In order to sin, you got to do something. God has taken all the work out of it. You don't have to work at this. All you have to do, you know. Now this brings up something. We need to address this too, because there's a balance here. Grace, you can't redefine grace to accommodate sin. It doesn't do that. Grace empowers us to live above sin. Does that mean we don't sin? No. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So what's the balance? Where do I fit into this? Just know that God is your Father. You are his child. You are in his throne room, represented by the Lord Jesus Christ. He is your advocate. You know, we hire lawyers here, but God just put him there for you. He's the best lawyer in the world. He's the chief advocate. You know, and he is the author of your faith. He's the refiner and finisher and completer of your faith. But sin is what opens the door to the enemy. You know, there was a story, there's another one, I heard Oral Roberts when he used to do his TV program, and he'd come out and say, something good is going to happen to you today. And you've got to meet each day just saying that, but he talked about two brothers and one of his. He said, I heard a story, and he said, this is a true story. I'm not going to release their names because this is a true story. One brother was a wayward brother. I mean, he was always getting into trouble. And the other brother grew up and he wanted to really do something, you know, to serve the common good. He really wanted to make a mark on him and leave it better than what he found it. And the other brother said, well, no matter what I do, my big brother's going to get me out of this because he's, you know, he's my brother. And the brother always did. He always bailed him out or did something, reconciled something, fixed it. and for his brother. And then his brother made a fatal mistake, the wayward brother. He said, you know, I could do anything I want because my big brother would get me out of this. What he didn't know is that his brother studied, passed the bar, so forth, and became a judge. And one day the brother really did a big bad. Big bad. He did a bad big. And he did a big bad. And he was brought before the court, into the court, and he's thinking to himself, my brother would get me out of this. My brother would get it. He forgot that his brother was a judge. And then he said, all rise. Judge came out, and he looked at him, and it's his brother. For a long time, they just looked at each other. Judge made an announcement. He said, this man is my brother, but I can't go by that. I have to go by the law when I wear this robe. I have to represent something bigger. And Oral Roberts related that to the fact that someday you're going to stand before Jesus, your brother, who sticks closer than a brother, and he already proved that he'll do anything for you. He gave his life for you. But he said, if you don't repent of sin and let God forgive you, then you will face Jesus as your judge, and you will lose a lot of rewards on that day. You can't get unborn again. I wouldn't even want to chance that. But you can let the devil into your life in such a way that the brother who loves you, and that judge sentenced his brother. When the court found him guilty, he passed sentence, and in tears, the brother was, you're my brother! And he said, yesterday I was your brother, but today I'm your judge. You really want that to be a happy time. You don't want to hear. You want to hear, I'm so glad you're here. You did me proud. Amen? Isn't that good? You're looking at a loser who was a loser. God makes losers into champions. He makes failures into victorious people. He brings the very best out of that new creation that he's made you to be. He knows how to get it out of you. Get in his word. Let his word fill you. Keep his counsel. Ask him, should I do this? Should I do this? Should I not do this? Ask his counsel. Don't be afraid. And if he says no, the worst thing that can happen is he says no. And if he does that, it's for your good. It's not for your bad. Because the grace of God is his ability in you to work his will in you. That's what grace is. It's that thing that empowers you to do what you couldn't do without it. That's what grace is. It's known as unmerited favor, but it's also known as God's ability. And Paul said, that grace works in me mightily. He says, I worked harder than them all, but it wasn't me. It was the grace of God in me that was motivating me, that was compelling me to understand more, to get more revelation. Get in the word. Also pray in tongues. The spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Pray in tongues and read. This is how I do it. You want to know how I do it? I read the word, I pray in tongues. I read the word, I pray in tongues. I read the word, I pray in tongues. I read the word and I pray in tongues. Then I read the word and I pray in tongues. It's the spirit and truth, because the spirit wrote that book. He'll interpret it to me as I need to know it and understand it to walk in victory and to walk in the blessing that he's called me to. There's armies that want to come against you. But there's a greater army for you. Sometimes just wait. Don't react to things. Just wait until you hear marching above the trees. Isn't that super? I love it. That's super. You got angels ready to go to war for you. You got Jesus who gave himself for you. You got a father who gave the very best he ever had for you. You've got more things working for you. You've got the faith of God in you. You've got the Holy Spirit of God in you. You've got the hope of glory living on the inside of you. You have the Spirit of God that helps you. When you walk in the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh, the desires of this world. The value systems of the world will mean nothing to you. Don't be afraid. See, and this is what fear, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Fear and bondage are hooked up together. So if you're in bondage to something, that means you're afraid you're going to miss out. You're going to lose an opportunity. You're in bondage. That's bondage. But God says, no, in me, you are complete. And you're not going to miss out on anything because you're mine. And I'll make sure it all comes to you the way I want it to. Lift you up. Praise God, Jesus, you're so good. Hallelujah. A smoldering wick he will not quench, and a bruised reed he will not break. You're his. Amen. You get that today? God loves you. He really does. He really does. In this series, we talked about there's a party going on. And there's a real, and the triumph that we have in Christ is the celebration of the fact that the enemy is defeated. You got to stay in that party. Stay in the party and mood. Stay in the triumph mood. Because the triumph isn't the event of the victory. The triumph is the celebration after the victory. We talked about streamlining your life for victory. Get rid of double-mindedness. That's number one. Get rid of double-mindedness. And then what are you looking at? Are you looking at his strength or your weakness? Are you looking at your inability or his ability? Look, you're going to have to let God be the God of the breakthrough. But now, instead of being out there somewhere, he's in here. God is in here now, and he wants to break some stuff off of you so it'll never. And here's the thing. When he destroys that yoke, he doesn't just break the yoke. He destroys it. And that word destroy means to rust or corrode to such an extent it's ground to powder that it can never be used again. Never be used again. It is totally unusable. How many times have you heard that? He'll break the yoke. No, he doesn't. He destroys it. Absolutely destroys it so you can never use it again. Streamline your life. Get rid of double-mindedness. If you know you're born again, walk like it. If you know you're delivered, walk like it. If you know you're healed, walk like it. And then I was going to talk about the enemy's dirty laundry today because it really gives you, I'll just share this much with you and then we're going to dismiss because it's 5 to lunch. And Oliska made some good stuff today. Wow, that's the glory of God. So, when I was a kid, we lived on Long Island, New York, and my father worked in the city. But my next door neighbor was Dennis Fairbrother, and Dennis's mother used to hang the family laundry on the clothesline, swinging in the breeze and everything. And I'd go over play, and one day I was just looking. I could tell all the underwear he wore and everything. There was things I probably shouldn't have seen on that thing too. But anywho, Dennis saw me looking at it, and I could tell he was getting embarrassed. I mean, there are those shorts blowing in the wind. Man, I could see what, they weren't Fruit of the Loom either. There was something, a lesser model maybe. They weren't the designer stuff. Of course, when I was 7 years old, the word designer didn't exist. So I'm older than I look. But, the devil feels the same way when you're looking at his laundry. Look at the last century, the 1900s. 2 world wars, dictators, the combined Mussolini, Hitler, and Stalin, combined destroyed probably 100 million people with their socialist agenda. Oh, victims. They created victims. That's what the devil does. And every one of those victims is evidence of his dirty laundry. Not that they're dirty laundry, but the evidence that he leaves. You don't want that in your life because there's no bottom to sin. It doesn't get, it gets worse and worse and worse. But the blood goes deeper and deeper and deeper. For where sin abounded, there did grace much more abound. Which means that whatever the devil, whatever damage the devil has done in you, God's done better. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that your word is true concerning us. That you sent your word, it will not return to you void, but it'll accomplish in us what pleases you. And it'll prosper in its purpose in our life. We thank you, Father, we've been changed by the word of God today. We thank you, Father, that it lives big on the inside of us. Father, I pray that the words that were from you today take root and reproduce after their own kind in the spirit of love, in the power of joy, and in the strength of peace. Thank you, Father. Lord, we love you, and we stand in awe of you. We thank you for the freedom that you've given us, but also the standards that you have set of right that even nature itself declares. Thank you for delivering us and to bringing us into your chambers where we're safe. Hold us when we need to be held. Speak to us when we need to hear your voice. And we will respond. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Now say it like you believe it. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. We will pray for you. God will answer those prayers.